This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. You check into a hospital for treatment for whatever ails you, and you totally expect that healing essentials will be applied to your body. That's why you're there, right? But what if I told you that many hospitals bring you just the opposite? Three times a day, the staff rolls into your room items which promote disease instead of healing them, and these items arrive warm and inviting at your bedside, ready to support serious chronic diseases, including heart disease and diabetes. What am I talking about? I'll let an expert explain. Our guest today is Maggie Niola, a registered dietitian who works with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, a nonprofit organization made up of 12,000 doctors. PCRM is based in Washington, D.C. Maggie, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you, Charles. Thanks for having me today.
Okay, we want healing in hospitals, but many times there's a problem. What do we need to know?
Well, what we need to know is what is on patient menus and how we can improve them so that patient outcomes will also improve across hospitals, which is one of their number one goals.
Wouldn't we just sort of expect that a hospital would know nutrition and would not even think about giving us something that's bad for us?
We would hope so. However, after doing our food reports annually, we found that that's not always the case.
Why is that? Why would not a hospital? Now, we're talking about a hospital, a multi-million dollar establishment. Why would not a hospital know that giving you a cheeseburger or giving you a steak or giving you dairy would clog your arteries and cause blood flow to be diminished and cause all kinds of problems? Why wouldn't they know that?
That's an excellent question. There are a lot of different hands that are involved in planning menus at hospitals. And a lot of times registered dietitians are involved, which are your nutrition experts. But sometimes they're not necessarily involved in menu planning. So you can get a lot of different factors for what they want to see on menus, and it can be confusing as to what is actually healthy going into those menus.
All right. So the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, how did you guys approach this problem and what's being done?
So what we're doing is an annual hospital food report, and we're surveying major hospitals across the United States, including 50 major hospitals, for a total of 262 hospitals. So there's at least one hospital in each state that we are surveying, and out of those 262 hospitals, we are scoring 24 of them with an in-depth analysis of their patient menus and presence of fast food outlets.
So you get a hold of their menus, and you start crunching some numbers. What have you been finding?
So what we've been finding, very interestingly enough, is that the ones who rank highest with the best scores, healthiest options on their menus, also have the lowest amount of obesity prevalence in that area, in those states. So it's definitely linked, which is pretty exciting news.
So you're saying that hospitals then basically are serving what the local area serves to their people at large?
That could be a good way to interpret it. So what we're seeing is that there are certain trends where if a hospital in general it has a higher score on our report, their state prevalence of obesity among adults is also lower compared to hospitals who have a lower score on our reports.
So on your way to the hospital, if you look out the ambulance window and you look at the general population that passes by on the sidewalk and you see the type of restaurants that are whizzing by as the sirens are blaring and you're being taken in for your heart attack, you can pretty well guess what kind of food is going to appear on their menu and at your bedside after they've kept you alive for a few hours.
That is a very good way of thinking of that, yes.
All right, okay. Now, the question, of course, is people who listen to this program know better, and they want to be taken to a hospital that does a better job. How can you know? Is there a list someplace that people can go to find out what's happening in their local area as far as hospital food's concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. So our report is released every year, and we have our top scoring ones, but one of the very exciting things that you can do now is we have a website, eatmorechickpeas.org. And this is actually related to our campaign for minimizing and eliminating the number of Chick-fil-A institutions at hospitals within their grounds. So you can go there and see which hospitals are currently hosting a Chick-fil-A and ask them to go fast food free. It's part of our campaign.
Ask them to go fat. you, this little patient that comes in with a little pain in his or her chest, says to a hospital, a multi-million-dollar establishment with millions of dollars flowing through their coffers every day, you're saying, would you please go fast food free? What good is that going to do anybody?
Good question. So what we found actually by doing our reports every year, it's putting a lot of pressure on different hospitals to change. In fact, we, even just last year, there have been contracts with McDonald's that have been eliminated at the Cleveland Clinic, Children's Hospital in L.A., Driscoll Children's Hospital in Texas, and then also the Memorial Regional Hospital in Hollywood, Florida. So there are positive things happening through our reports.
And this came from the reports, and of course, this was generated by people who wanted it different. Does your approach to these hospitals include the fact that, hey, your patients want this?
We had to present it where we have data on health trends in that area and how this would help improve your patient outcomes. So there's definitely statistics involved that try and show that this would be a really good initiative for them to follow.
Now, Maggie, you and I both know, and this is the hard truth I'm talking about here. We're talking about hard stuff today. Here's the hard truth. Patient outcomes versus money incomes. Is there really a way that patient outcomes can rise above money incomes? Because money has seemed to be the driving factor at most, I hate to say it, at most medical institutions these days?
Yeah, that's a really tough topic for sure. A lot of it depends on, you know, your CEOs at hospitals and what their main goals are. For example, Toby Pasgrove at Cleveland Clinic, he really wants to revolutionize their patient outcomes. Mm-hmm. So recently he was one that did get rid of McDonald's there. So he has a lot of impact on that. But we are seeing what's challenging with this is that a lot of these contracts with fast food restaurants are very much so conditional related to profit.
And
a specific example for you would be one of the hospitals that we ranked with the lowest score. It was in Mississippi. It had a contract with Chick-fil-A. And the contract specifically stated for the hospital, it said to make every reasonable effort to increase sales and maximize gross receipt of each unit. So you're seeing things in the contracts that are not helpful for hospitals to improve their patient outcomes.
My. We hate to pick on Chick-fil-A because there's lots of fast food restaurants out there, but this one was egregious. You also have a campaign that you have billboards up that have a message on them. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is really exciting. These billboards look awesome. So we have in over 10 states right now, there are different ads, whether they're billboards or inside of your bus, on the side of a bench where you're sitting to get on the bus that say, eat more chickpeas and ask your local hospital to go fast food free. And then it has the link for our landing page, so eatmorechickpeas.org. And we just put these up last month. They're going to impact. They're all within 1 mile of the hospitals on our report.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to see lots of people get involved with our campaign.
Well, I've seen a picture. I think that your organization sent me a copy of that billboard picture, and there's three medical personnel in full medical garb giving this message. Who were those people that were in that picture?
Yeah, so all three of those people work at our Barnard Medical Center, which is a primary care outlet here that we just opened up last month.
Okay, so they are medical professionals / models, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. So the message of the billboards, the message that you're trying to get out here is that fast food, by default, by the fact that it is so processed and so nutritious, devoid of, that if you serve this in a medical facility, if you serve this in a hospital, you are not only slowing the healing process, you are contributing to the damaging process. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. So even just eating fried foods 3 times a week can increase your risk for heart disease by 18%. That's just 3 times per week. So you can see that it's not helping anyone improve their health.
Has this been helping? Have you heard reports that the billboards and the reports, I mean, apparently some hospitals are making the change. Have they come back to you and say, hey, Physicians Committee of Responsible Medicine, help me on this thing. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we did just release it about a week or two ago, but we are seeing some news coverage, like with Houston Chronicle, for example, where there are four hospitals in Texas right now that have Chick-fil-A. So there's definitely some feedback coming, but we'll be monitoring that much more closely.
All right, very good. We're talking with Maggie Niola. She is a registered dietitian, works for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, a Washington, D.C.-based organization that has 12,000 doctors involved with this. And before we go to break, just give us a quick overview of what Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine is supposed to be doing over there.
We have three main goals. We want to help educate others on plant-based nutrition, do research, so clinical research, and then also reduce the number of animals being tested in research.
All right. And I've done interviews on all three of those, and you guys are busy, and you guys are making a difference, and these things are happening. I'm very proud of the fact that you're doing this, and every one of you are just awesome in my mind. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, I want to start talking to you, Maggie, a little bit about what these fast foods do to us, actually do to us, that make that ambulance ride, that make that stay in the hospital much more possible. And we'll learn more about that with Maggie Niola on our return, so stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your biblical prescription for life. Well, have you ever found that you sit too much at work, or go home and watch TV or sit at a computer? Well, I want to tell you that sitting's not too good for us. Our biblical prescription for life is a text full of action, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those that hope in the Lord, they will soar on eagle's wings. They will run and not get weary, walk and not grow faint. Well, I want you to get up and get moving. Sitting triggers a destructive chain reaction. It slows your metabolism, changes your hormones, makes your cholesterol go up, and actually weakens your muscles. Over time, this can lead to diabetes, heart disease, weight gain, and just gets us sick. So soar high, run, and walk. Stay busy. Don't sit too long. For more information, go to heartwiseministries.org.
In his book, The Ultimate Prescription, now available from Tyndale House Publishers, cardiologist Dr. James Markham writes, "How often do you leave a doctor's office with a new prescription tucked neatly in your purse or wallet? For all the safeguards built into the pharmaceutical system imposed by our very own Food and Drug Administration, you'd think what you were about to drop down your throat or inject into your skin would be entirely safe. Think again. According to Mike Adams, a consumer health advocate, the entire drug industry has clearly become the single greatest threat to the health and safety of the American people, and yet the FDA continues to push more drugs into more Americans than ever before, all the while pretending these drugs are safe and effective when, in reality, they are neither." Dr. Markham's book, The Ultimate Prescription, is available from Amazon.com and wherever quality books are sold. To learn more about health from a biblical perspective, visit heartwiseministries.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is a member of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. They're in Washington, D.C., and they're doing all kinds of good things to help people get healthy and get better from their diseases when they go to medical institutions and they go see their doctors. There are 12,000 doctors involved with PCRM. And we're talking today about hospital food and how many hospitals, after a recent study done by PCRM, are realizing that their menu choices may not be conducive to health. Many hospitals have business partnerships with fast food restaurants, which is like, I don't know, a church making a deal with the devil. So we are making some changes here through PCRM. And Maggie, I want to ask you this. What is it? What is it about, let's say, this new buttery cheeseburger that's coming out someplace? I heard about this, a buttery cheeseburger. What is it about that item, or those French fries, or that egg thing, or all of these refined foods? What do they do to you that would cause you to have to go to the hospital in the first place?
Great question. So all of those items are fried foods, very high in fat, so unhealthy fats like saturated fat, trans fat, cholesterol. And essentially what they're doing is they're clogging your arteries with plaque, and it's going to just slowly decrease that blood flow and most likely lead to heart attacks and all of those lovely things that we don't want to have.
Now, decreasing your blood flow. Okay, so you have slow blood. You just go sit down. Don't run anywhere. Just sit down. Just have slow blood. What does slow blood have to do with disease?
So when you think about your blood flow, you want to be able to optimize it from your heart to the rest of your body and then coming back. And so when it's slow, it means your breathing is going to be slower, your activity level is going to be limited. Think about, you know, if you want to play with your grandkids, you're not going to be able to keep up with them because you're having such a hard time breathing and producing enough energy to have fun with them and live life.
You just sort of opened the door here for something. The heart. The heart is what pumps the blood around. And what is it about blood? It just came from the area of the lungs. It has oxygen in it. It has water in it. Are you saying then that the slower blood delivery is also slow in delivering oxygen and water? And these are kind of important, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I hear you. I want to do what you're saying here. Let me cut back. I am not going to eat a cheeseburger 5 times a week or 6 times a week. I'm going to eat a cheeseburger just 2x a week. That's not going to hurt me, right?
That would seem correct, but really it still has a huge impact on your health. Like I said before, even just 3 times a week of fried foods increases that heart disease risk for 18%. That's a large amount.
That is a large amount. So cutting back is not the answer. I think I hear you saying, and people may not like this, cutting out is the answer?
That would be the best answer.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, if you're currently eating it 6 times a week, you can set that goal and aim for 3 times a week, cut it in half, and then next month you aim for just 1x a week and you cut back. Sometimes changing something immediately is harder for people. It depends on your personality, what you're willing to do.
Before we get back to our guest, I want to extend to you an open invitation to visit the HeartWise Ministries website. Why? Because I believe that's where you'll find many of the answers you seek as you strive to improve your physical, mental, and spiritual health. All that and more are waiting for you at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. Stop by today. All right, you have convinced me. There are listeners right now who are convinced we need to stop doing this. We need to stop putting this in the body. So what do we put in the body? We're hurried people. We're late for work. We got kids to get off to school. What are we supposed to eat instead of that really fast, really tasty, really delicious Egg McMuffin in the morning?
Right. So even breakfast, you want to make sure all your meals are full of lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains and legumes. So breakfast can be some of those tricky ones, but there are lots of quick recipes out there that are super healthy. My favorite is overnight oatmeal, which you can make the night before and literally just take it with you to work if it's in a portable mason jar.
Okay, wait. You're taking your oatmeal to work? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, it's really great. So what you do is the night before you go to bed, go ahead and just put, let's say, 1/2 cup of oats with 3/4 cup of some kind of unsweetened non-dairy milk and maybe a teaspoon or two of chia seeds and let that sit overnight. Uh-huh. You could even put some fruit in there, let's say blueberries, whatever you like.
Okay.
And then in the morning, it'll become like this gel. It doesn't have to cook at all. So most people think you have to cook oats, but when you soak them overnight, you do not have to. So in the morning, you just take it out of the fridge and bring it with you to work, and you can eat it there. Or if you want to eat it at home, that totally works as well, whatever your time constraints look like.
Okay, I'm getting this. You're basically eating bread dough. Is that right?
I guess so, but it's very tasty.
Right.
Full of lots of fiber, which is super important to keep you full.
Okay. All right, you come up on lunch at work. You have 15 minutes or 30 minutes, depending on where you work, or you have no time, depending on where you work. What do you do on that important thing? Because, again, opening a wrapper and eating something that's been packaged is so easy. What do you do for lunch?
Yeah, that is true. It depends kind of. I mean, if you're able to make your lunch and pack it, that is one of the best ways that you can control what you're putting into your body.
Uh-huh.
But it's also great to look around and see what other restaurants or grocery stores are nearby and what healthy options they have. If you needed to rely on someone else to have that food for you.
Okay, all right. So it is, what I almost hear you saying is, it is as important what you don't eat as what you do eat. Am I on the right track?
Definitely. Okay. Everything you eat impacts your body.
Okay. Everything you eat impacts your body, which means if it goes through your lips, that is going to do something, yay or nay, good or bad, positive or negative to your body. I think if we start thinking, that's a beautiful way of thinking. I think if we start thinking that way and planning that way, we can make a big difference in our health. And how long does it take? You're a registered dietitian. People come to you and you tell them what they need to eat or you help them through this. How long does it take before you start seeing some improvement in your health when you cut out as opposed to cut back, when you start eating good things and not eating bad things? What happens and how fast does it happen?
That's a great question. So even when you think about, let's say you ate a really unhealthy meal, so it's full of lots of fried foods, uh-huh. and you feel sick. Sometimes you can feel sick within a couple hours of just eating something you know wasn't good for you. So in the same way, when you're eating healthy, you can notice, oh, I feel really good after a couple hours. I'm not super tired this afternoon. Or even after a week, you'll notice maybe different energy levels could be better. I think one of the best ways to do it is to try and commit to eating healthy, changing your diet for at least 3 weeks and noticing what changes have happened and just kind of tracking those things. That way you can see, this has really helped me.
Okay, 3 weeks. Is there anything, and this is a leading question, and I know the answer, that's why I'm asking you. Is there anything at pcrm.org where people can hear and see and find material to help them do that 3-week program?
Absolutely. We have this program. It's really awesome. It's called our 21-Day Kickstart Program, and it will give you tips from different celebrities who follow a plant-based diet. You'll have access to menus, so what you could eat every day, and lots of different educational tips and videos. So it's totally free to the public, and we would love to have as many people sign up for this and benefit from it and see the changes that they can make through this. It'd be really excellent. And the last thing, too, is there's a ton of success stories online for people who have done this. So even just reading those can be really encouraging.
Yeah. We don't like to suffer alone, and people think they're going to suffer when they make these changes. And maybe for a day or two, as the taste buds start making their adjustments, as the body starts going, whoa, I don't have to fight this food. I can actually use this food to go fight disease. That can sometimes make you feel a little off. Am I right?
Yeah, at first it could be a little bit tricky, but if you really stick with it for, you know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks at that time, you can see those changes, and it's going to level out. Your body adjusts to what you're feeding it.
It's going to be nice to think that my body is feeling this way because it's healing, as opposed to my body is feeling this way because it's destroying itself from the inside out. That's a much nicer feeling, I would say. Okay, that website is pcrm.org. And I just checked, and the website for that particular program is 21daykickstart.org. That's 21daykickstart.org. There is where you can find help, listener. There is where you can find the encouragement and motivation and also guidance through this. Again, very important. Your body may say, I'm not too sure about this, because as it tries to heal, you might not feel on top of everything, but that is very temporary and very quickly get over that, and you start feeling better than you have for a very, very long time. Just a little word of warning and encouragement there. Well, Maggie Niola, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your words of wisdom and guidance. Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Maggie Niola inviting you to remain heart wise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.